follow with the word of God. Come with me to Ephesians 1, 11 and 12.
Hallelujah.
In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. I need you to take at least 30 seconds and get to four people and let them know I've got predetermined favor. Get to at least four people. I've got predetermined favor. Predetermined. Predetermined. Wait. Predetermined favor. Predetermined. I need to know if y'all know what that actually means. Predetermined. God had already chosen, wait a minute, before anything happened in my life, before I breathed my first breath, I had favor on my life. It was predetermined. When God told Jeremiah, before you were in the womb, somebody help me, church, before you were in the womb, I knew you. I had already called you and destined you to be a prophet. Before life hit you in the mouth, church, you already were determined to have favor. And can't no devil in hell rob you of the favor that's already on your life. Oh, Lord Jesus. Favor is not earned. Favor is what you're born into. You're born into favor. Why? Because Christ died. His death afforded you favor. Somebody say, I got favor. So when we read Ephesians 1 again, we understand that Paul says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Say inheritance. Being predestined. This is what Paul says. We are predestined according to the purpose of him, him being Jesus, who works all things. Somebody say all things. Somebody say all things. According to the counsel of his will. That's so powerful, you all. I'm exposing this particular scripture. According to the counsel of his will. So his counsel is basically his advice. So God affords favor according to the counsel of his will. Okay. He gives his will advice from his counsel. Oh, gosh, that's how bad he is, y'all. He speaks to himself to give according to the destiny on your life, the purpose in your life. He speaks the just purpose of pleasure and favor over your life before you even hit the road. Before you even enter your mother's womb, God had already determined that you had favor. And a couple of hiccups in life don't strip you of favor. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is going to be good this morning. Now, there's an antidote scripture that I have to read that goes with Ephesians 1 and it's in Romans 12 and 2. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't let this world mess you up. But be transformed by what? By the renewing of your, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't understand that you got favor and you got destined purpose over your life if you refuse to transform your mind. You've got to change the way you think, which means you've got to change the people that are around you, because some of you got stinking thinking people around you. Somebody help me in this place. Some of you got some negatoid folk waiting on you Monday morning. They want to talk about how bad the week is going to be. You don't want to talk about that. Tell them I'm walking in a transformed mind. I don't need no worldly stuff this morning. I don't need nobody speaking death and destruction over me. I don't need nobody talking about how bad stuff is. I don't need nobody talking. I'm trying to transform my mind. Y'all leave me alone. See, because we're human, and whatever is spoken into the earth, it has a way of sticking in your mind. And so you got to fight against that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That why? So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want the perfect will for our lives. We want the perfect will. I don't want nothing. Anybody like me? I want the perfect will of God for my life. Order my steps, O Lord. I don't want to make a false step. We know we've made plenty of them in our lives. Amen. But when you get lined up with Christ, you're like, Lord, order my steps according to your perfect will, O God. Not according to what man says. Because man will mess you up. Because 1 Corinthians 3:19 tells me, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. People always think they know this, that, and the other. The bottom line is that your counsel has got to come from God. You've got to tap into the mind of God. He traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. I want to tell you this right now. Limit your godly consultation to God alone. Oftentimes, we want to know what God is saying. I can tell you, because God has torn the veil's been torn, we have access. Say access. You can go unto God to seek God for your own self. For your own life. You don't have to go. There's no in between. Amen. You don't have. There's no longer the sprinkling of blood and goats. And the blood of Jesus paid it all for us. And so now I can come boldly to the throne room to obtain grace and to obtain the favor of God. You've got to let God remind you that you got favor. You've got to let God remind you that your favor is not according to where you live, what you drive, where you go, who you got friends with, what. You got favor. Somebody yell, I got favor. And it's predetermined. It kind of fell off right there because y'all didn't understand I was going to say that. I get that. We're seeing people. It's who we are. We like to see stuff. We like signs. We like God to just show us stuff. It's just the reality of who we are. Don't be ashamed or feel guilty. I've done that more the times than I can count. But we like to see stuff. God, if that's you, anybody ever said that? God, if that's you, show me a sign. Lord, if that's not the person I'm supposed to be dating, show me a sign. And then he show you a sign. Say, Lord, show me another sign. Show me another sign. I probably wasn't you. That was the devil. The devil is a liar. No, he's showing you a sign. God is showing you a sign. He's not restricted. I think this is, I got this note for you. I want you to write. God's not restricted to seeing. He's a being God. He's not restricted to seeing. We see. We like to see stuff. We like to put our hands on stuff. God's not restricted to that. He's a being God. He is. He said, I am who I am. Tell him I am, Moses. Tell him I am. What do I tell him when they ask me? Just tell him I am. What does that mean? That means I'm everything. That means I'm the first and the last. That means I'm the beginning and the end. That means I'm the sun, the rain, the moon, and the stars. That means I'm everything. Ooh, Lord Jesus. He says, I am. So he's not restricted to seeing. That's our restriction. He's a being God. I'm going to give you a number of wheels here, and then we're going to get right to the circumference of our text here this morning. You can write this down, or you can take a picture of it, whatever is going to work for you best. But I want to give you a number of wheels. Somebody say wheels. God has wheels, the wheels of God. I want to give you just a number of them right now. The sovereign will of God, the sovereign will, okay? It's what he ordains. Predestines all that happens, okay? It's what he ordains and or predestines all that happens. That's a sovereign will. The decorative will. The decorative will. I want to teach here just for a moment. The decorative will. God's direct will where he causes something to be. He decrees it. It's God's authoritative order, okay? His sovereign will, his decorative will. His hidden will, the hidden will of God, the hidden will. We are unaware of God's will until what he has decreed takes place. A hidden will of God. The efficacious will, efficacious will. Again, take a picture, write it down, whichever help you best. Efficacious will of God. Our actions are directly capable of having the desired result. That's the efficacious will of God. And the permissive will. Each one of these I gave you, I'm a power pack in scripture here in just a moment. The permissive will, this is the big one right here. What God allows, even if it's sin. The permissive will of God. Because we get it so twisted when we start talking about how that's God's will. We will do something in a heartbeat and say, listen, that was God's will to do that. And the fact of the matter is that God's not in that. That was you. That was the permissive will of God. The bottom line, you would never do it. You would not do it. But each of you sitting right here, you could grab your elbow and you could just elbow the person right next to you right there in the temple. You could. You could just elbow them. Boom. You can't tell me that's God's will. I gave you an A, B, C, 1, 2, 3 example. But that's the reality. That's the permissive will. That's the permissive will. I have put myself on blast constantly when it talks about the permissive will with the fact that I've got a 27-year-old son, be 28 here in a couple of months. He's not the biological son of my wife, although he calls her mom. She's taken him in. He's been with us since he was 9 or 10 years old. But the bottom line is I wasn't married when he was born, and so it was fornication. Oh, don't y'all get quiet on me now. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about you. It's all right. Y'all like, yeah, it's fornication. That's what it was. Bottom line. But the bottom line is that he was born out of fornication, a relationship that shouldn't have happened. That was a part of the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God. Let's just be honest. If God really dealt with you and or healed you at the place of sin, this church would be empty. Include me. Wouldn't be nobody up here, nobody preaching. It would be just quiet. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. But even with that, you cannot allow the fact that God is merciful to go and do what you want to do. Ooh, Lord, somebody need to hear that now. Just because God is merciful, just because God is kind, just because God is ever so patient does not give you the open door to go and do what you want to do as far as sin is concerned. Well, you know, I just do this real quick and then repent. Oh, no, God is not a fool now. God is not to be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also. All right, let me get back to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, turn to that real quick. So you got those five or six wheels that I just gave you down. I'm going to power pack them here into this particular text that I'm about to read to you. Genesis 37, verse 1, I'm going to start. So Jacob again in the land of Canaan, settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the son of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Anybody ever had any bad thing happen from somebody that you love? Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. When you look it up, he was about 91 years old when Joseph was born. I don't know too many people that happens to nowadays. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph. It was a beautiful robe. Write this down right now. You are not vilified until favor has been manifested in your life. From the moment in time that favor has been manifested in your life, you best believe you're going to become public enemy number one. Don't y'all miss that. The fact of the matter is that people will leave you alone until favor hits you. All of a sudden, favor start getting on your life, you become public enemy number one. Now, it's not right. It is what it is. It's not right that Jacob named Joseph as the favorite son. And the Bible says he put a robe on Joseph. We know it. We see it as the robe of many colors. He puts this robe on Joseph because of the favor that he sees on Joseph. And then we understand, oh, let me give this to you right here. The mere anticipation of your promotion will bring out the worst in people. just the fact that there is an anticipation that you're moving on up, my goodness, that'll bring out the word. All of a sudden, you'll understand people around you will get flaky and funny. Am I talking in the right church this morning? All of a sudden, people start kind of tripping around you all of, because you got promotion on your life. I need to let you know right now, just they're acting funny because they sense something. You're fine as long as you're down and dirty with them. But all of a sudden, when something gets on your life, all of a sudden, she ain't all that. Or who he think he is? Now we were on the same page when we was all single together, girl. We was on the same page, girl. We was talking, we was fellowshipping, we was praying together. And now that I tell you, I done found a man. I done found a man, and he loved me, and we gonna get married. And all of a sudden, it's that. All of a sudden, I think I'm all that. All of a sudden, he ain't that cute. Oh, y'all know exactly what I'm talking. He ain't all that. I could have done better. Why can't you just be happy for the same person that you were laboring with? Somebody say favor.
Favor.
Favor on your life. Watch this in Genesis 37. We're going to skip to verse 18. I promise you this thing is going to blow up before you here in just a few moments. The Bible says when Joseph's brothers saw him, they recognized him in the distance. And as he approached, they made plans to kill him. Joseph's brothers, they're jealous of him because his father, they found favor on him. And I don't want to leave out a note, but Joseph literally was telling his brothers about some dreams that he was having. And he told his brothers that in his dreams, all of y'all was bowing down to me, all of y'all. And his brothers were just completely in a distasteful place, like there's no way in the world that we're going to bow down to you. And so here it is, Joseph has got, he's got this robe on, and his brothers literally are to the place that they want to kill him. They say, here comes the dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what happens and what becomes of his dreams. But when Reuben heard of their scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him. Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. Yeah, they ripped it off. Mario, you had a jacket on at one time. Put it back on real quick and just come on up here. Yeah, so when they saw him, yeah, they saw his they saw him coming, and they said, okay, here comes the dreamer. Yeah, here he come. Here he come. Yeah, he got that pretty robe. Probably talking amongst each other. Yeah, he got that pretty robe, huh? Yeah, he think he got, you know, he think he all that. Yeah, he got that pretty robe, got his pretty polka dots on, suede shoes, you know what I'm saying? He think he all that. You better stop it. You're going to mess up my sermon, man of God. He said he's trying to be like me. The Bible says that the brothers, they get him and they rip it off. Rip it off. They rip it off. And so Joseph is left to say, Joseph is wondering, like, what? You ripping off my robe? That dad gave me this robe. Joseph didn't recognize that he's trying to kill me. Because I got favor, Wes. But you better understand this, because this, I'm telling you, this is, listen, what happens, they rip off his robe. Here's the thing about it. You can confiscate my clothes. Watch this. But you can't cancel my call. Oh, somebody better tweet that. You better tweet that, Instagram that, Snapchat. The favor is not in the robe. Favor is in the call. I've been called. You're tripping because they might make a move on your job. The favor not in your job. The favor's on you. You messed up because he gonna leave you? Let him go. You ain't gonna never be nothing without me. I was something before you got here, and I'm gonna be something after. Matter of fact, you're probably blocking my blessing. Get to stepping. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If y'all married, try to work it out first, though. I'm just saying. I'm gonna have you back here in just a moment. What do we call this? We call this the permissive will. It was heinous. It was mean. It was wrong. It was raw. They stripped this man of something that his father had given. He didn't ask for it. The greatest favor that God is showing your life is what you don't ask for. Ooh, Lord Jesus. That's why he says exceedingly and abundantly. You can't go into your best prayer closet and ask God for what he wants to do. Oh, wait a minute. What you ask God for is always lower than what he wants to do. Because you can't conceive how big he is. You can't conceive how big the plans of God are for your life. So you're limited in humanistic thinking. When God is always thinking so much bigger than you, that's why those of you who are walking in ridiculous favor, you literally would say, I don't know how all this happened. I really don't. I mean, I tried this, tried that. The fact of the matter is that even my best is like filthy rags before the Lord. I didn't gain this or earn this. How in the world do you all get in high school and get all these folks sitting here on a Sunday morning? To God be the glory. I don't know. All I'm doing is preaching Jesus. Come on, somebody. You didn't earn that. Please don't tell me how you fasted 40 days. Please don't tell me how you always pray. You always do everything the right way. There are people who do better than you that don't have anything. They pray more than you. They fast more than you. They love Jesus more than you do. It's not something that you earn. Please don't ever get that type of thought in your mind. Well, I didn't pray, 30 days and God ought to be doing something by now. There's folk that fast for 40 days, don't eat nothing. All they do is drink water. It's not something that you can earn. Favor, you've been born into favor. What you need to do, every person in here has got to realize in your mind, I'm better than where I am in my life right now. I got more in front of me than what I've been. No, don't be condemned. Absolutely not. But how do you ever get to a place where you feel like God has done enough? Really? Oh, man, I couldn't want for any more. Well, if you can't want for any more, then you should be pouring down the favor on somebody else. Somebody else's cup should be full. If your cup is overflowing, then overflow somebody else's cup. Amen, everybody? Give God some praise right there. Are y'all getting something? Are y'all getting something this morning? Let me expedite this to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, verse 1. The Bible says that here it is. Joseph, he's been thrown in this cistern, and all of a sudden he begins to make his way into this process of life. And when we get to verse 30, chapter 39, verse 1, it says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, who was an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And the Lord, in verse 2, was with Joseph. Don't y'all miss that? Circle it, underline it, write it down in your notes. Because the bottom line is that Joseph is at a place that he does not want to be. He did not want to be thrown in an empty cistern. He did not want to be taken by Ishmaelite traders. He did not want to be in a place in Potiphar's house. But the Bible still tells us, church, that the Lord was with Joseph. Even if you're in a place you don't want to be, the Lord can still be with you in that place that you don't want to remain in. The Lord was with them, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served, say served, in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. Even Potiphar realized this boy got favor on his life. The Bible says he put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Okay, let me pause on that one right there. Everything in Potiphar's house had blessings on it because Joseph was there. Okay, I need somebody to walk in the world tomorrow morning. Walk in your job tomorrow. Don't say it out loud, but let them know there's favor on this job because I'm here. Because some of y'all don't believe that. There's favor here because I'm here. Because God's got a blessing on my life. There's favor there. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. The boy just blew up because he had Joseph in his household. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. My goodness, somebody say that's favor. How in the world does this level of favor come out at a place when you're in a spot you do not want to be? Don't you all miss the fact that the Bible says Joseph yet still served. One of the most difficult things to do in life is to serve in a place you don't want to be. It's hard because we deal with this humanistic characteristic, especially when we talk about our jobs. Let's just talk about our jobs. When you're at a place where you're really not getting treated well, they're not really doing you right, but yet you're supposed to serve because God is watching you serve in order to determine your next move. So instead of speaking negatively of everybody around there, just serve. Because as you serve, God will prepare to lift you up. But you have to serve willingly. Joseph served willingly. I call this the efficacious will right here. I'm just plugging these in as we go along. This was the efficacious will of God. This is when our actions are directly capable of having the desired result. The efficacious will of God is beginning to take place at this point in time here in Joseph's life. And we know that the Bible then goes on to talk about Joseph and it says he was a very handsome man. Yeah. Oh, so let's get down and dirty with it right now. So here's what happens, church family. Joseph is in Potiphar's house. Everything in Potiphar's house begins to ascend because Joseph is there. And so what happens is that everybody in the house notices that Joseph got favor on him. Somebody say favor. Predetermined favor. Not favor that Potiphar gave him, favor that God had given him. So what happens, church family? Well, everybody takes notice in the household, including Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife recognizes that Joseph's got favor on him, and then all of a sudden she makes a pass at Joseph. Oh, yeah, the Bible says that Joseph was well-built. He was a good-looking man, kind of like Brian Rice right there. Ain't that right, Marquita? He was a good-looking man. And so all of a sudden the Bible says that Potiphar's wife makes a pass at Joseph. Joseph resists that pass. Joseph says, absolutely not. Why, Pastor Mike? Because I believe at some point in time, matter of fact, Potiphar told Joseph, he said, everything in this house and outside of it is yours, except my wife. You can have everything that you want, but don't you touch my wife. Oh, but, you know, this damsel in distress, if you want to call it that, which she really wasn't, but the bottom line is that she continued to consistently come after Joseph. She was attacking this boy. She was coming at this boy like crazy. Then all of a sudden, come on back, Mario, I need you again. Come quickly, man of God, just sit and spin. Can you sit and spin? I need you in your jacket. I need your jacket. I need your jacket. I need your robe. I didn't know this, but, you know, the fact that this is Jersey Day, look at you. My goodness. My Lord. What in the world? I can't even do that. My Lord. I believe God's setting you up, though. I really do. I believe God's setting you up because it was intentional that a lot of men didn't have jackets, and then I noticed you with your jacket on, and I knew I needed a jacket today. And I believe God's setting you up. So you need to receive this in the name of Jesus, that God's about to elevate you and promote you in your life. I'm being very serious. I believe something's about to happen in your life. Because watch this. Watch this, church family. Because here's what happens. Potiphar's wife, she's coming after Joseph. She's coming at him. She's coming at him tough. And Joseph has already told her, like, listen, I can't, no. You're married? No, I can't. She ain't trying to hear that. She's still coming at him to the point that she begins to grab his robe. And she grabs his robe so tough. And Joseph, because he's a man, he says, I better run. Don't y'all men look at me like that. Don't y'all look at me like that. I better run before something happen. I better get out of here before something happen. Can a man go root, root? Yeah, that means you hear me. That means you hear me right now. You better root, root, run. You better root, root, run. That's what you better do. And so the Bible says that here it is. Watch this. Don't miss this, church family. Here it is. She grabs the robe. The tunic, they call it, and that day she grabs it and Joseph runs. And she's got the robe. Joseph not worried about the robe. He's not worried about the robe. Joseph remembers that the robe had just previously, don't y'all miss this. The robe that Joseph had in Potiphar's house was given by Potiphar. Ooh, Lord. So Potiphar was blessing Joseph with stuff. So he got this robe from Potiphar just like he got the previous robe from his daddy. The first robe got ripped off in the call and the favor was still on him. And so when the second robe, so Joseph was like, you can have my robe, woman, because the favor ain't on the robe. The favor's on my life. Here's the problem. Oftentimes, we want the robe back. If God is trying to move you up, you best believe he will strip you of what you currently have. But he's only stripping you because there's another robe down. Oh, my God. Don't y'all miss this. Come here, Mario. The fact of the matter is that oftentimes in life, God has literally, he has stripped you of that robe, but because the robe was comfortable, you're like, well, Lord, I want that robe, but it was that robe, and God is like, I got another robe up there. You're like, but I like that robe. That robe fits me better, but he said, I got a better robe up there. He said, I want that robe. He says, that robe ain't tailor-made. Somebody else gave that to you. I got a robe up there that you haven't put on yet. You said, well, I want, that was my man, and he left me. He said, listen, forget that zero. I got a hero up here. Why you stuck there? Oh, Lord, I ain't got my job no more. They done fired me from my job. He said, I ain't worried about that job. I got something up here. I got another robe up here. Why do you keep thinking that the favor is on the robe? Favor's on you. Favor ain't on your job. If there's no work at GM, God has another plan for your life. Sometimes God has to strip you because you get too comfortable. Oh, I can shout and run around this church on that. He strips him. He's like, Joseph is gone. Let me hear you, Jackie Mario. She got his robe. Y'all all right out there? Y'all all right? She got his robe. She hot. She madder than a mug. She said, I can't believe that boy done ran from me. I've heard preachers say, you know, I don't think, you know, we don't know if Potiphar's wife was pretty, this, that, and the other. No, she was pretty. I believe she was. Bible doesn't say. I just believe she was. Potiphar could have anybody. And he was a man of prestige. And in that day, they really surrounded themselves around pretty women. Not as pretty as my wife, though. Not as pretty as my wife. That's pretty as my wife. I'm just saying, babe. Nobody's fine as you. Nobody. In all the earth. In all the earth. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got stuck right there. I got stuck. She sees this. Bro, she says, okay, oh, so he gonna run from me, huh? Okay. She said, hey, Potiphar, that servant that you brought in, he tried to rape me. Here's proof. Potiphar said, the guy that I brought in, the dude that's brought all the favor to the house, he tried to rape you? Yeah, he tried to rape me. Oh, okay. They say, go get him. They throw Joseph in the prison. Well, when they throw Joseph in the prison, there's a butler and a baker, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Well, they heard that Joseph was in prison. And they told Potiphar and the crew, they said, why you throw him in prison? Ain't nothing wrong with him. He didn't do nothing. He done brought favor to our whole household. Potiphar says, oh, so y'all with him? They said, yeah, man, he didn't do nothing. They said, so Potiphar says, well, y'all going to prison too. So they put all three of them in prison. So Joseph's in prison, the chief cupbearer, and the chief baker, they're all in prison. So all of a sudden, the cupbearer and the baker, they have a dream. And they go to Joseph, and Joseph interprets dreams, because you all remember way back, Joseph was a dreamer from the beginning. And so Joseph interprets this dream that the chief cupbearer and the chief baker has, and Joseph tells the chief cupbearer, because he tells him about his dream, he says, listen, you're going to be restored. He's going to restore you. Potiphar's going to restore you back to your position. And when he restores you back, remember me. Think about me here in prison. Remember me, man. And so the chief baker says, he said, oh, well, okay, so you interpret. He said, well, interpret mine. So Joseph says, okay, yep, you're going to be killed. You're going to be impaled. You're going to die. So I can imagine there was somebody else in prison. Joseph said, anybody else got a dream? I'm good. I'm good. I'm keep that to myself. What's in this? The hidden will. The hidden will of God is in this. What's in this story that I'm telling? The hidden will of God. That we're unaware, watch this, of God's will until what he has decreed takes place. Stuff starting to happen, even in a place where Joseph doesn't want to be. All of a sudden, Joseph's got faith. Well, what happens is that the chief cupbearer, he's released from prison, and he's out with Potiphar, and Potiphar has this dream. And he asked everybody, I hope y'all getting this, because I know I'm going a little fast, but I got to do this just for the sake of time, but I want to give you the bullet points of this particular text. The cupbearer is now out of prison, and Potiphar, he has a dream, and the cupbearer, he said, I know somebody who can interpret your dream. He said, who? He said, Joseph, because he interpreted mine. So what happens is that Joseph interprets Potiphar's dream. Now, he interprets that dream because now Potiphar lets him out of prison. And so now he's out of prison, and he interprets the dream. 7 years of famine, 7 years of feast. 7 years of famine. Your gift and your call don't leave you. The devil will tell you that everything that was favorable and gifted in your life is gone because of your situation. The devil is a liar. Your gift and your call don't leave you regardless of your positioning. Your greatest gifts manifest themselves at the epicenter of pain. Your greatest gifts, they blow themselves up at the epicenter of pain. Watch this, church family. Genesis 41, verse 37. I'm going to just expedite it just for the sake of time here. The Bible says this. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man? So obviously filled with the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, says, God has revealed the meaning of the dreams of you. Clearly no one else is intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court and all my people will take orders from you. Only I sitting on my throne will have a higher rank than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Somebody say favor. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand, placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paaneah, which means creator of life. He also gave him a wife whose name was Asenath. She was the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. So Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh. That's very important because Jesus was 30 when he began his ministry. The king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. Let me finish here in Genesis 45. The Bible says that what has happened is that because of this famine, his brothers have made their way on up to the hill. There's no more food. There's nothing. Everything has gone into a famine time, as Joseph has said, as the Lord has given him. And these same brothers who left him for dead, these same brothers who talked about him, these same brothers that had threw him in a cistern, these same brothers who had thought that the favor on his life was no longer, had no idea that God was favoring him. The fact of the matter is that you don't have to tell everybody what God's going to do. They'll see it in your life. They'll see it in stages and steps in your life. You don't have to try to make, you don't have to try to convince people that you got favor on your life. The only person that really needs to know that is you. Amen, somebody. I love this, you all. Here in Joseph, Genesis 45, I'm going to go straight to verse 3 because Joseph is at this place of revelation now. He's at this place where his brothers have come around. They don't know that this man, they think he's been left for dead. They have no idea where their brother is. And the Bible says when we get to Genesis 45, by the way, read this on your own time so you can get every nugget of this story. The Bible says he can't take it anymore. He says, I'm Joseph. He said to his brothers, is my father still alive? Brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was still standing there in front of him. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer and he said again, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. Verse 7, don't miss this. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. Somebody need to give God praise on that. Somebody need to let him know right now. Listen. If I lost the job, God's got something better for me. If you left me, God's got somebody else for me. If everything go kaput, God's got something else for me in the head. It's not, because what Joseph is saying, I'm not giving y'all no credit. Even though you orchestrated this ploy to kill me, God's favor and his hand was still on my life. So I'm going to tell you right now, I have risen to this place of second in command, not because of you, but because of God. Yeah, it was the will of God, but it wasn't. You're not going to take credit for my blessing. You're not going to take credit for my favor. You're not. Is anybody getting this morning? Somebody give God some praise right there. Come on, somebody give God some praise right there. That's the sovereign will of God. That's the sovereign will. The sovereign will. He ordains it. He ordains it. He ordains that. You're not going to take credit for that. You got favor on your life, church. Ain't no man going to get favor. Nobody's going to get credit for that. Nobody. The favor that's on your life, the hiccups that have happened in your life, the hiccups that have happened in your life, Mary, I know. And I know the favor that you're walking in now. God ordained that. The places in life that you walked in are packed. You lost the love of your life. One of the most amazing men that I've known, Uncle Clarence. But God's got you. God's been keeping you. You look more beautiful than you ever have right now. God has kept you, and you lost your husband, your dad. I've watched God do that. I've watched him. People have got to stop. You've got to stop allowing people to take credit for what has happened in your life. Can't nobody control your destiny? Learn to keep yourself in the most tough times of your life. Wade, I've watched God do exceedingly and abundantly in your life, man. I've watched you become a son of this ministry. I've watched you believe. I've watched you toil through seasons in your life. And then you came to me just a number of weeks ago. And you said, I got a full-time job at the prison. That's enough to give God glory for, man. You a good man. You a good husband. You a good father. I've watched him do it. I watched God, Bill. I watched how you handled that. Your last situation there, coaching football in Pharaoh. You had a tough situation and a tough decision to make. And you left Pharaoh, which is really one of your, like, that's like your home place. And then I watched God open this door for you at Sharon. And I watched the impact that you have on them young men's lives on the football field. As I was with you this past Friday, and I watched them look at you like you are a beacon of light. God set that up. He closed the door because there was something that he had in store for your life that you wouldn't do on your own. That's what you got to understand, church family. Oftentimes, you'll go through difficulties because you'll be angry that God is closing a door on something in your life. The fact of the matter is that, hear me when I say this, it's a setup. Somebody need to hear me right now. Somebody yell, it's a setup. It's a setup. I can go on and on throughout this sanctuary as I'm looking in the eyes of so many of you. I've watched God do stuff that you couldn't do on your own. I've watched you go through painful times, hurting times. You're trying to figure out what in the world is God doing. I know it deals with sports, but I look at Jimmy. And I hear you, Jimmy, and all we did is we talked and we prayed about your son. Stand up, Jimmy. We talked and we prayed about your son. And your son was the number one draft pick in the Major League Baseball in 2008. But he went through injuries and all kinds of turmoil and struggles for his first number of years in the major leagues. And then what God did is he shut the door on the Tampa Bay Rays of who he was playing for. He shut the door on the Rays. You were praying and interceding on his behalf. God opened the door with the Baltimore Orioles. And Timmy has been one of the hottest players in the entire baseball. What am I saying to say? I'm trying to tell you, stop trying to kick the door back open. If God closed that door, there's something else God's got for you. Don't go back. Don't try to kick that door back open. And each of you know what I'm talking about because we've all been guilty of it. God will shut a door and we're trying to get back in the door. And I just gave you that example. God's like, We walk by and not by. Give God some praise right there, church. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet right now. Come on, stand to your feet and give God some praise. Predetermined. Predestined. Mario, come here. I would say unto you, man of God, that you are a man of strength and you are a man of authority. The Lord says, son of man, get ready because you're about to walk into a season of unequaled favor. For the Lord says that you have spent many of your years misunderstood, angry, and upset. The Lord says that you have been through torment as far as relationships are concerned, and so it has made you very, very guarded around women and around men. But the Lord says, I'm releasing a season of peace upon your life and a season of tremendous breakthrough. For the Lord says that there was an inconsistency even in your upbringing. So you have not spent a long part of your life, you've not trusted well. But the Lord says, I'm bringing you to a season of great trust, man of God. I'm bringing you to a season where you're going to begin to believe again. For the Lord says, even you got dreams and purpose and destiny in you. Matter of fact, even in what you're doing on a 9-to-5 basis, the Lord says you're gifted beyond what you're doing. You got creativity in you, man of God. I hear the Lord saying, step out. Step out into the creativity of what I have given you and begin to walk in the favor and the promises and the destiny of which I've given you. For the Lord says that you are walking into a season where everything is beginning to come together again. Everything is beginning to come together. And the Lord says, yes, even within that there's been an attack. But I hear the Lord saying, begin a warfare like never before. Begin a warfare like never before. Begin to fight. Begin a warfare and begin to fight because there's a great jealousy that has come upon you. Don't you allow that jealousy to become heaviness on you. Don't you allow yourself to feel guilty because of the pleasures and the goodness of the Lord over your life. For the Lord says, I'm releasing a new robe and a new coat upon your life right now. And it is a robe of tremendous, tremendous favor. So begin to walk, man of God, like a man that's been redeemed, set free, and broken through, says the Lord. Give God some praise this morning. Come on, give God some good praise this morning. Come on, somebody give God praise and somebody say, I received that for my life. If you received that for your life, say, I received that for my life. Say, I received that for my life. Somebody say, shift. I want to shift some things in the spirit right now. I want you to bombard this altar right now. Because I want you walking in nothing but the destined purpose and favor on your life. Come to this altar right now. And you just say, I've been struggling in my mind. It's time for me to walk in the full-fledged favor that is upon my life. Regardless of my circumstance, regardless of my situation, it's time to walk in favor. Come on, come quickly, come quickly. Make room, make room, make room, make room, you all. Make room, make room, make room, make room. Make room. Make room for the Josephs. Make room for the Josephs. Make room for the Josephs. Come to the altar area. Come on, Josephs. Come down here, Josephs. Come on, Josephs. Lift your hands right now. Lift your hands, you Josephs. Lift your hands. Yes. Yes. Lift your hands for Joseph. The goodness and the favor and the blessings over your lives right now. Come on, begin to walk in the purpose. Begin to walk in the authority. I know it's felt like prison, but I tell you, it's more promise than prison. I know it's felt like you've been strapped down, you've been weakened by the enemy, but I'm going to tell you, God is all in this. When you begin to shift in your life, when you are conformed by the renewing of your mind, when you begin to walk upright, when you begin to align yourself in the alignment of Jesus Christ, there will be an unveiling of sorts of hidden gems that God has for your life. You said, Pastor, I'm just so confused. I'm so confused. You said, this don't feel like favor. This don't feel like it's been predestined and predetermined. It oftentimes don't feel like what it is. But I'm telling you, I know the Lord spoke this word to me, because this is what he has in store for your life. But I need you to push and to press through some difficult seasons and some difficult times. And say, Lord, I just need you to lift me up. I need you to help me. You need to understand that Jesus, even himself, was not respected and revered around those even closest to him. That there was not only the Judas, but there were those others who spoke negative about him in a constant season. But he knew his purpose. He said, for this reason, I was called. For this, called to live is only to die. Yes, God. Honey, that's okay. Yeah. Listen, I break every spirit of condemnation. The spirit of condemnation and confusion. So many of you are literally, you're trying to fight through the word that I spoke. Like, how? That just said, Pastor, can that happen to me? Can I be in a place that I don't want to be in yet still have all that favor on my life? Yes. Yes. It's predetermined. You're qualified for it because you're a child of the Most High God. That's undeniable of who you are. But you don't know what I did. You are a child of the Most High God. You need to repent, which means turn away. Then you do that right now. But your favor is undeniable. Somebody say that. My favor is undeniable. Come on, somebody say, my favor is undeniable. I promise you, as I was praying over you, and you're going to feel this both in the spirit, I'm telling you. Gonna feel it in the spirits. I mean, you're gonna feel the tingling. As I was praying over many of you here just a few moments ago, it was like rain falling from heaven. I can literally feel favor falling from heaven. Listen, just lift your hands right now. This is strictly from God. Listen, this ain't about stuff and things. This is about favor from God. This is about this is a Romans 12:2. This is a transformation of mind, because before favor manifests physically, mentally, you have come into agreement. You got to come in agreement mentally that favor is yours. Lift your hands right now. Father God, pour right now in the name of Jesus. Shift the sound, Candace. Go to that prophetic place. Yeah, that prophetic place. That's it. That's it. And then play it real strong for me. Play it real strong for me. Come on, lift those hands. I'm believing it right now. Come on. I'm going to release you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come into this place right now and begin to release favor all over the building. Somebody's got a situation that's bigger than them right now. Somebody's got a circumstance that's bigger than them right now. Somebody needs an open door. Father God, I pray right now within these moments that the open doors of heaven right now unveil themselves, and that the freedom, the promises, the breakthrough hits the body right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs a healing. Somebody needs a miracle. Somebody needs a new job. Somebody needs help. Somebody is crying out, God, can you hear me? Help me right now. Father God, come mighty. That's perfect, man. It's perfect. Come on. Don't miss it. I don't care who you are. Reach out. This is your season of favor. Come on, reach out. That's it, team. Reach out. This is your season. It's your season of faith. It's your season. This is going to be difficult to do because we got so many people at this altar and within this body right now. But everybody right where you are, just take one step back. Just one step back. Yeah. You just did that for room purposes. What I'm asking you to do right now is a spiritual thrust that I hear from the Lord right now. I'm going to ask each of you just in a moment to just take one step forward. Because the Lord is telling me that is signifying this next season in your life. that is signifying what God has prepared for you. The fact of the matter is that what God has for you is for you, but it has not been revealed and manifested because some of you haven't taken a step. And sometimes in life, you got to take a step. They call it blind faith. But that blind faith only comes from faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's where blind faith comes from. So I'm just believing by the breath in me given by Jesus Christ himself that when you take that step, you're going to feel the glorious measure of Jesus Christ fall upon your life in a greater place. So if you're with me this morning, can you just take that step on the count of three? I want all of us to take that step together. One, two, three. Take that step. Yeah. That's that new season right there. All it takes is one. Is there one that will take the step? Is there one that'll say I'm living greater? I'm living better. Y'all take that step. Y'all took that step. Come on, give God some glory right quick, y'all. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Take another step back. One more step. And because you're so unselfish and you understand that in this lifetime it's much more than about you, this next step is going to be for your loved ones. But I'm going to mess you up. I'm going to really mess you up with this one. I'm going to really mess you up with this one, Hugh. Not only is this next step going to be for your loved ones, this next step is going to be for your enemies. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Yeah. Come on three. One, two, three. Take that step. Come on, give God some glory in this place right now. Turn to somebody next to you right now. Turn to them. Find somebody. Turn to them right now. Find them. Anybody. Find somebody that'll talk back. Anybody that'll talk back, somebody find them. And say to them right quick, I can see the favor on your life. Now ask them, can you see it? Yeah. Find somebody else. I'm going to dismiss you in a minute. Come on, find somebody. Oh, there's a breath. Oh, it's happening right now. I can feel it. It's happening right now. Find somebody else. Come on, find somebody else. Come on. That young lady right there, find her. Tell them, I can see the favor on your life. Can you see it? Jesus. Oh, my God. I can see the favor on your life. Can you see? Can you see what I see? If you saw what I saw on your life, if some of y'all saw what I saw on your life, and I see stuff on you, Roger. I've been seeing stuff on you for years, man. You're quiet, but you got stuff all over you, man. Stuff. The only people that you're going to receive from are people who see stuff. Won't you be speaking no negativity in my life? I don't receive that. You can keep it moving. The only thing I receive is that which has been ordained and blessed of God. I don't receive nothing else. I don't receive it. Don't you ever be disrespectful to a doctor. And we got some in the building. Don't you ever be disrespectful to a doctor. I understand you got to read this, that, and the other. And I understand that you got to ask my family tree and diabetes and cancer and all of that. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, doctor, when you get done saying what you say, I don't receive that for my life. That might be in my bloodline, but I don't receive that. Matter of fact, some of you have been diagnosed with stuff right now. I dare you to get your mind together right now and say, whatever it is that I'm dealing with, I'm claiming myself healed in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure. I declare myself healed now in the name. I can't do kingly work sick. Let you go before I keep you here till Tuesday. I'm telling you, God just doing some good stuff, church family. God is doing, I'm just feeling it in my bones. Man, what's your name, man? I can't keep my eyes off you. What's your name? Tars, who'd you come with? That's your girlfriend? Okay. Where you from? From Youngstown? You play ball or something? You box. I knew it was something on you. How old are you? You're about 23. You got stuff on you, man. Kingdom stuff. Ooh, Jesus. I know you're probably very good at boxing. Boxing seems to be a stress reliever in your life. I don't know the way that you were raised. I feel in my spirit that your upbringing was questionable. Some things in your life that have happened in your past, you're not exactly sure what God was doing. I just heard the Lord say that I'm shifting the generation, man of God. What's your name? Tars. What does that mean? Look it up. Because your name means something. Lift your hands, man. Ooh, Jesus. When I see somebody and I see stuff on them, I see stuff on you, young man. For I hear the Lord saying, young man, I set you up today. I brought you into a body of Christ. And the Lord says, yes, you've been boxing here as a profession. But the Lord says it's been bigger than the man. Ooh, here it is. I hear the Lord saying, not only have you been boxing the man on the other side of the ring, you've literally been boxing yourself. You've been in the place and the capacity that you've literally been fighting with the internal man. Although you are a young man, the Lord says, because of your life, it has matured you. It has accelerated you past your years. For the Lord says that I've been using the boxing as an outlet for you. And yes, I can fulfill dreams and desires and destinies within that boxing ring. But I hear the Lord saying that I am going to speak unto you right now, and I'm calling you an oracle of the Most High God. For the Lord says that you are needed within the kingdom of God because of your youth and because of your strength. And the Lord says, I'm going to begin to send you out into the highways and the byways. You got friends, multiple, who have been killed. They've been murdered, some of which you have actually seen. But the Lord says, I brought you out to take you in. I brought you out to take you back in. For the Lord says, no longer should you look on the outside of what's happening within your family, your friends, your cousins. But I hear the Lord says, I'm taking you back in, Tars. I'm taking you back in to the epicenter. And the Lord says, you're going to be like a John the Baptist. You're going to be talking about prepare the way of the Lord. And the Lord says, yes, you will be ostracized. Yes, you will be talked about. But I hear the Lord says, don't use your physical stature to deal with who's coming against you. For the Lord says, I'm speaking into your spirit man right now, and I am causing a fire to come up in your bones just like Jeremiah. For the Lord says, the things of the Lord are opening into your spirit right now, and I'm about to take you into a season of warfare and of breakthrough. You said, Pastor Locke, I don't really understand all of this, But I hear the Lord saying, your spirit is available. And because it's available, I am going down into the deep crevices and portions and parts of your life. But get ready, Tarsus. I'm about to break you through to the next season of your life, young man. Can a God on high use a young man like me? And I hear the Lord say, yes. Yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Give God some praise right now. Make sure you hook up with him. The name literally means to fight. You just looked it up. To fight. I got to speak this over his life. Y'all okay out there? Y'all okay? I got to speak this over your life, because even though you box and the name means fight, Tars, I need you to look at me. What's that? Bullets fight. The Lord says, I'm putting you into a season of rest. You need a rest. You've been fighting stuff that you can't fight. Been arguing about stuff that you can't win it. The Lord says, I'm bringing you to a season of rest. Lift your hands. Just receive the season. Yeah. The season of rest comes so that you can replenish yourself. That's it. Speak a season of replenishment over your life in the name of Jesus. Joe Moss, make sure you hook up with him. Make sure you connect with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, church. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, church, for just honoring what the Lord was doing. We are after our time. But I'm in a season, and I know you all are with me. When God's doing stuff, I just got to do what God is saying to do, you all. You say, okay, so you say, well, why, Pastor? Why? Because lives are at stake. No other reason. Because people's lives are at stake. And that's what matters most to God. Amen. Lift your hands all over the building. Let me speak the blessing into you. Do we got our family and friends pass out cards again today? We do? They in the back? Okay. Y'all make sure y'all pass those cards out to your family and friends, because 2 weeks from today, we got our family and friends service. And if each of you are able to do what I'm asking you to do, which is bring at least two, shucks, maybe even three people, we're not going to have room, so we're probably going to have to, you know, knock out those seats in the back. But we really want you all to do that on Family and Friends Day. We just believe God has a word for that day. October 1st, Sunday, October 1st. Listen, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't close your eyes. I'm speaking the blessing, not praying. I bless you. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to that is God intended for your purpose. We bless this season in your life. I know you say it repetitively every Sunday, but I need somebody to say, it's my best season.
My best season.
You got to speak it before you can believe it. We bless your homes and your jobs. We bless your families. We bless your portion. God has a portion for you. We bless that in the name of Jesus. We tell you each and every week, God has given us one life to live. All we can do is live it the very best that we can. Be excited, be energetic, full of life, so much so that we do what? Love on somebody before you leave here. I'll meet you in the hallway. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you.